Today is one of those bumper weeks. That's what I say as a pastor, right, when it comes to preaching themes and messages. I love to do series. And after today, we're going to start into some things that will parallel in different ways our Crestview core through the fall. But differently, as we look at Genesis and Exodus, we're going to spend time in Genesis and Exodus while we're going through some of that initial fall semester core. And it'll be rich and it'll be good, I believe, life-giving. And I think as we seek God together this fall, we will find Him. We'll find Him. So today I want to talk about life-giving Sabbath rhythm, which is which command of 10? Do you know what the number is? Which one is it? Four. Thank you. You guys who count, right? It's four. It's an interesting placement. It's kind of in between, right? The first three that definitely focus on God and loving God, it seems. But then Sabbath is this little tweener kind of thing before you get into another five, right? Six or so that speak about loving your neighbor. It's a nice two tablets of the law of love that God gives. But we're doing it on Labor Day weekend. There's a little bit of irony. Do you know the history of Labor Day? I'll just give it to you briefly. Labor Day was born during the Industrial Revolution, a period when many American workers endured 12-hour days, 6 or 7 days a week, and unsafe working conditions were a big part of the movement as well. Often included child labor in factories. Yes, that was part of our history. Mines and mills were run this way. It sounds insane today and sounds super inhumane. What Labor Day did was put up a big sign that said, stop. These harsh conditions galvanized into a labor movement, which organized strikes and rallies and parades to demand better hours, better pay, and workplace safety. When I read this and I was preparing for Sabbath, I thought, this is all about life-giving rhythm. What we're created to be, how we are to operate, all the things around some kind of healthy lifestyle. Well, Sabbath day, I mentioned already, 1 in 7 days is to be a stop. In Hebrew, it's Shabbat, all right? Go ahead, Shabbat. You got to say it with emphasis, man. It means stop. Shabbat. Yeah, good job. It's a big stop sign. Every 7 days. Consider it a weekly holiday rhythm. It's God's good gift to us, where we can find joy and life and goodness and gratitude and trust and rest. And for some of you, this may be the only time I might see you during a week, so there is community. Sunday, a gift to be received. So why focus on Sabbath day? And my message, I think I stuck this in there because this is what Sabbath looks like to me. There's this place in Michigan, right? We go every summer, usually sometime we get there, and there's, what's it called? Dairy Days? Is that what? Dairy Days, all right? And I think it's D-A-Z-E. You can see after that, right? You're in a glaucoma. You're in a glucose coma, something like that. Anyway, they offer this, and it doesn't cost very much, but they don't think you can eat it. Oh, I can eat it. You can tell I love ice cream. Oh, yeah, I love biking too, I guess. Sabbath, a life-giving rhythm. Why focus on Sabbath this Labor Day weekend? Well, it's appropriate, right? And it is in between series for me, and it's a good one to talk about and a good reminder for us all. But God desires relationship. Now, I know you're thinking, I can have a relationship with God every day of the week. Well, absolutely you can. But what do you know about your work and your life rhythms? When you invest deeply in them, are you always conscious of God? Does it pull you into all kinds of different directions where you find yourself not even really noticing God? Yes, right? Yes. This is all about relationship. God desires relationship. He says, stop and come be with me intentionally. And for us, right, the Heidelberg Catechism talks about this a lot. It's in community. We need this more than ever today. Our lives are defined by busy, busy, busy. Our days are crammed with more than full. It's over full. It's overdrive. It's overproduce. It's overmuch, really. Sabbath was designed for man, for humanity. Work, work, work just leads to unhealthy relationships with God. It just does. There's something out of balance. Now, don't get me wrong. Work is a good gift from God. However, what we do is sometimes we don't put boundaries around it as should be. I think sometimes we simply just don't trust God. Not producing a product or some service we would call labor. Not striving for an achievement or working for a deadline, which, by the way, you think your work is going to be finished someday. At least that's how I think. I do. I think this way every week. If I just get this far, but the fact is, your work is never finished. So God says, stop. Henry Nouwen says, without Sabbath, it is virtually impossible to live the spiritual life. If you know anything about Henry Nouwen or you've read any of his stuff, the man is a spiritual man. And when he writes his books, it comes from a place in a heart of authenticity, of struggle, of searching and finding God. The Sabbath is a reminder, a space and a place of regular rhythm, allowing us to live the spiritual life. Sabbath invites us to be fully present, in the present, with God in relationship. Now, how many times during the week can we say that? Now, I know we have devotions, we have other gatherings, we have other things that focus us from the ears to the heart, right, into the head and into the mind, things that we may do. I understand. But God says, stop even all of those things and come be with me. A space and place fully present in God's presence, in the present here and now, in a rhythm of life. And by the way, every 7 days. Now, I'm going to mention this maybe at the end. If I remember, I'm not sure I will, so maybe I'll mention it now. Is a Sabbath day, when you think of it, is it number 7 out of 7? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Sabbath? Or is it 1 Sabbath? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's interesting because I'm going to talk about this. Sabbath is a creational rhythm. It's built into the fabric of creation. It's actually built into your person and my person. 1 in 7. Lord, here I come. Open hands. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I receive your goodness intentionally. See, I do it with others. In a place of community and love. There's accountability, there's integrity, right? As we clarify what God's will is among us and for us. Stop so you can listen, so you can hear and you can see. You know, when you look at the creation story, it's very interesting, very poetic, right? Very rhythmic, very beautiful. The great creator calling out the creation, ordering and giving order to chaos, and then filling it with abundance. And then he says, stop and enjoy and take a look around. Smell the flowers, enjoy the goodness, the fruit of your labor, so to speak. May your heart be filled with thanksgiving as you come before the Lord. And we get to do that together. What a wonderful gift. In the creation story, too, I'll just say it now because I think I'm going to forget later. The creational rhythm, does it say, and there was day, or God creates all this stuff, and there was evening the first day. Is that how it goes? There was evening, night, and then there was day. And that completes. Now think about that. Are we being subtly, maybe not so subtly, taught something? That you can do your best work, you can get ready for what God has for you if you take the time to rest, and rest first? So think about that in your day. What an upside down life. When you go to bed, you're like, God, thank you for this gift. Now, you know, rest and sleep is a struggle for a lot of us, right? Lord, when heaven comes to earth, may that be rectified. Peaceful sleep. Whatever sleep looks like. There was evening. Thank you, God. Do your work in me. May I awake refreshed to the day you have for me. You see? It's beautiful. It's a beautiful rhythm. Now, when Jesus comes and there's a resurrection day, all of a sudden, like this Christian calendar and way to think about your week actually changes. It's not Shabbat, right? Like we stop after all of our labor, like that creational kind of rhythm gives you, right? It's 6 days of creation and then a day of rest. All of a sudden, it's like that Sunday is the first day of the week. It's resurrection day. It reorients our whole life for the rest of the week. It's not a makeup at the end of the week. It begins and starts the week how it should go. Anyway, now I won't forget that. We come together to bow down. Remember Psalm 95 last week. Free from distraction, free from worry, free from the need to produce and achieve. We can enter in and simply be, exactly the word I'm using, free. So why Sabbath? Why Shabbat? Well, it's probably already clear. We need it. We need it. Some of us are so arrogant, we actually think we don't. Maybe? Is that true? I don't need to rest. I'll rest later. I can get more done. And even if you say, I can get more done for the Lord, I'm not sure we're honoring God in that. Our need is to surrender, to receive, to give, and to love. Receive it and give it. Our need to surrender, coming to God with open hands. Okay, I really think when we come for worship, this is how we come. We come with the garbage. We come with the good thanksgivings. We come with it all. This is like a symbol of our heart and our life when we come here on Sundays together. May it be the real us, right, who comes before the real God. There's nothing to hide. There's no place to go. Simply be in the presence of your loving God, your Lord. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Do you think that God knows what's best for us? He even makes it a command. Honor the Lord your God. Have a Sabbath day of rest. Not only for you, but for anyone who's your employees, if you're an employer. Not only are you loving God, but think about it, you're loving your neighbor, and you're also loving yourself. What an amazing commandment of God in the Sabbath to stop and rest. You love God, you love your neighbor, as you love yourself. Have you ever thought about it that way? So, let's see here. Albert Haas. Another guy who writes a lot of reflective type stuff. He writes stuff about the true self. He says, leaving the emptiness of false attractions. The great tragedy in growing up for many of us is we become self-made. We become independent successes who are weighed down with the thoughts of the past and the worries about the future, leading us to live more and more off-center, becoming alienated over time from the one who created and loves us. That is well written, and it's a word to the wise. God's commanded day of Sabbath, invitation, rest from our labor every 1 in 7 days is God's design for relationship with Him, for relationship with the creation. You know what? You should read the Old Testament laws about Jubilee. You should read about the Sabbath years that were celebrated, where even the land lays fallow. Now, if you don't think God knows what's best, it's a lack of trust. It's the pursuit of something else. Maybe this is what Jesus gets after when he says, he tells a story about building bigger barns just to store away more stuff. Really? Just stop. Take a Sabbath. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. Be in relationship with me and with one another in that kind of community. So, the Sabbath is a corrective to our lopsided living. I'm going to say also our pleasure seeking and our own kingdom building. It can be frenetic and frantic, always producing and achieving. It's never ending, by the way, it is. Think of an assembly line. When I worked at Steelcase, talk about it. It's an interesting feeling. It's part of the Industrial Revolution, right? Like, you've got all these things, so you're producing one part that then is super efficient because you got all these parts that go to another part and to another part, and if you set it up in an assembly line. But if you're a part of an assembly line, you start to get this crazy feeling after a while. I did. You're just like going insane. It actually drove me personally to say, Dad, thanks for getting me a job at Steelcase. Now I know I want to stay in college. That's how it was for me. I'm not saying that's not good work for somebody or for lots of people. It is. But there's something about that kind of rhythm of life when we sort of think we're on sort of a, like one of those, like a mice machine, right? That's what I was thinking of, right? You know, you get your little mouse and you watch your little mouse and look at him run. Look at him run. Boy, he's not getting sick of that. Look at him run. It's crazy. So, I wrote a little something here about it. The hope of technology should ease much of this pain, right? Yet with every technological advance, dangerously tired, we somehow remain, producing a new kind of strain. Feeling thin and stretched too much of the time, you know it's a curse of the production line. Over time, you feel like butter scraped over too much bread. Thank you, Tolkien. In need of a holiday to clear the heart and the head. I know that you do, and I feel it too. I just need a holiday. I wonder if what we are feeling isn't so much about what's external, it's much, much more about what is internal. We neglect God's commanded invitation to rest. One day in every seven, what a gift! We lack trust that God knows what's best. We say without saying through our work and our deeds, I don't need a Sabbath, defying, by the way, and denying our beliefs and our creeds. Don't interrupt me, God, the flow of my week. Is this not a Sabbath slap on the cheek? Stop, God says, and he speaks, enter in. To neglect this invitation, I think, is a sin. A creational rhythm, a command, flourish. A gift invitation, Shabbat and Shalom, to nourish. So a word today about some of these Hebrew words and their rich depth of meaning. Shalom, Shema, and Shabbat. These are significant understandings if you believe in the one true God who created the heavens and the earth as your Redeemer and Lord and the Holy Spirit within you. These are very significant. So a word about command and creational rhythm. They go hand in hand. Shalom and Shema. Shalom means, and I'm going to summarize it, and it won't give it all the credit, but think of it as all that it's supposed to be, a blessing. You know that this command, this creational rhythm, is found in Shema, which is God's law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. When we enter into this, it gives birth to Shalom. This is what Sabbath, Shabbat, does. We then enter into Shalom, and in the process, we are actually obeying Shema, which is the law of love to God, to our neighbor, and to ourselves. The Shalom and Shema are embodied in God's gift of Shabbat. In the fourth command of 10, Shema, is God's path of Shalom. And Shalom comes from obedience to Shema, which in the fourth command is Shabbat. I don't know. I tried to put that together. Stop one thing to intentionally enter into another thing. If we're completely honest with ourselves, which we often are not, the cause of our frantic, worn out, worried, and hurried life is simply our own idolatries. We may not see it as such or notice it or recognize it as such, but I'm going to say it that strongly because that's exactly how Scripture speaks of it when it talks about our heart. We think we know better than God, especially in this command. We'd rather keep propping up some idol that the fourth command of God pushes over. Shabbat is a corrective, countercultural, commanded rhythm of God that tips over our own idolatries. Another man named Mark once said, not me, another one, our Sabbath practices reveal which Trinity we truly worship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or me, myself, and I. Well said, Mark. Way to hit this mark between the eyes, right? Eugene Peterson says this, if you don't take a Sabbath, something is wrong. You're doing too much. You're being too much in charge. You've got to quit one day a week and just watch what God is doing when you're not doing anything. Eugene Peterson is a wise person, has much counsel to give, is steeped in the Scriptures, understands these principles of Sabbath, Shalom, Shema. Sabbath is that uncluttered time and space in which we can distance ourselves from our own activities long enough to see what God is doing, and God knows best. Anybody here a fan of Wendell Berry? My wife is. She loves Wendell Berry. He speaks of Sabbath this way. Sabbath observance invites us to stop. It invites us to rest. It asks us to notice that while we rest, the world continues without our help. It invites us to delight in the world's beauty and abundance. Well said, Wendell. And yet there is more. I think Sabbath, right, clearly in Scripture, is an act of worship. So think about that. You think about we were created to worship God, then an act of worship would be to simply enter into Sabbath as best as we can. To be still, to be quiet. I need to collect my thoughts for a moment. Do you think that AI, the gift in lots of different ways to us at this time in our history of the world, leads you to greater rest? Or does it create even greater strain? Now I should say, is it one or the other, or is it a mix, depending on what you do with it or how you use it? What would you say? I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think about what you would say. Because when I think about it myself, this is for me, there are things that AI can really help me with and make some tasks that may seem and appear a little more menial, or even though I'm not as good as AI with organizing some of my thoughts, right? My sermons may meander. You could like take all your prep and put it in there and it'll help organize it. Maybe that's helpful to me and saves me lots of time. But then what happens to me is that time I've saved, I just move on to something else. And then something else, right? So I'm not sure it really helps in that way for me. If I put good boundaries around it, like every good gift that God gives or door that he opens to us, there needs to be discernment, right, of how to do that or what that means. Okay, stand task, Mark. I almost went off the track there. Why practice Sabbath? Because it's a way to find God. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. Ask, and it will be given to you. So, any deer hunters here? I mean, if I ask this in Michigan, it's all fine and okay. In fact, if you're a deer hunter, you're elevated. I don't know how that is here. Anyone a deer hunter? Used to be. When you want to see a deer, what do you need to do? When you're out in the forest, what should your posture be?
Quiet.
You actually hide yourself. The camo, all that stuff. The orange kind of throws it off, right? But it's for safety. But you're behind a blind, you're up in a tree, and you wait how long?
Hours.
From a deer hunter. If you want to see God, think about how your patterns of life are. If you want to see God, do you go crashing through the forest? Where are you, God? Can't hear you. You know, I'm thinking of chainsaw. God, where are you? No, you need to be silent for a while. You need to be still and then let God work in your life. And then God might make an appearing. Wouldn't that be a beautiful sight, right? Be still. That's what Sabbath does. It stops you. Sabbath. Gil and I were on the Snake River this week, not once but twice. I would have done it thrice, but we had really bad wind one day. And for the first time in a long time, we went over. That's a story for another day. That's another sermon analogy. The one I want to use, though, is the river. How many of you kayak or floated on the river? I'm not talking about whitewater for this example, right? But if you're on the river. And it's amazing when all, if you're out away from any kind of noise of traffic or whatever, you know, humanity, and you're floating down the river, one thing that you start to notice is, wow, I can just simply ride the currents of this river. And it's a wonderful feeling to be in the flow of the stream. And think about it as like God's activity in your life, right? Sometimes when we're paddling or we're striving for this and that, in fact, that would be a good sermon illustration, and I'll tell you a little bit. Dion and I wanted to go into this middle tributary. Snake River was high. There was all kinds of ones you could jump into. You had to discern which one might be clear all the way to the river again, right, where you hit the main flow, but it would break off all the time. We said, let's go in the middle, and we were like paddling hard because the river was going. You don't realize we were on the river for already like 13 miles, 14. And so you don't even realize how fast you're going. You're just in the flow of the river. And we tried to like, let's get to that tributary. So we're just like, wah, 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 wah. And it was clear by about 20 feet away. And by the time we're going too fast, that we're not going to make it. That's kind of a good illustration for today. Strive, strive, strive. Capsize. If we would have just stayed in the flow of the river, right? And just noticed the currents and followed what God was doing. By the way, I'll give you one clue on that story. We had a dry box, of course, when you're on the river. We're experienced. But I was taking pictures a little bit before. It's like a dry box. It's got my wallet. It's got my phone. It's got our keys. After we capsize, we're scrambling to grab everything, help getting oriented, and there goes my wallet. Literally, just one. Dion goes, what else was in there? I went, oh, my goodness, my phone and our keys in the middle of the Snake River in Wyoming. What? I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. I had to tell that much. It's for a sermon called Seek and You Will Find. Okay? Today is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is creational. This is something that cannot be avoided. We try to usurp creation all the time. We think we can master it. We can change it. We can transform it. We can do all these things to it. Now, don't get me wrong. We've been given amazing abilities to shoot someone into space and come back. We have all kinds of things that we can do. But I think this is one that we try to outdo God to our demise. It's a creational rhythm. I know the New Testament says things about Jesus that, yeah, in Jesus, the Sabbath is fulfilled, that entering into Him every day is a Sabbath, a rest from sin. I get all that stuff. I'm a Reformed-trained pastor. I love that understanding. Every day is a rest from sin. Enter into God's. But this thing is creational. It goes deeper into the fabric of our being for the love and care. It's a command. This is one that I think we just think, oh, well, that one doesn't apply to me. It's redemptive. The Sabbath is redemptive. It just reclaims our hearts and our souls. It says stop so that you can remember who you are, that you can enjoy the image of God in each one of us in a relationship with God. All right. I'm not giving too much lib, too many stories about the Snake River. Why? It's for community. I love this. Where would Jesus go every Shabbat? Where would he go? He'd go to the synagogue. Even though rejected, right? And some stories of trial and trouble. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us meet together and worship. Hebrews says, let's not forget to meet together, as is the habit of some. And by the way, there's a lot of some today. Let us not forget to meet together, as is the habit of some, but let us continue to encourage one another along this walk of faith and life. All right, I'm winding it up here. Why? I think simply the Sabbath. It really is a lot about trust. Where you may not see the ends meeting and you feel you gotta work, whatever it may be, or you feel like you just need a little bit more, I gotta tell you, what we learned about the keys and the phone, the rest of the story is like, God can show up in ways that you just cannot believe. But sometimes we don't allow it because we just don't trust Him. God will provide for our every need. Don't worry about your clothes, about your life, your food, what you will eat, what you will wear. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. It doesn't mean be lazy. The Bible speaks about that as well. But it means live your life with Sabbath principle. So there it is, Shalom, Shema, and Shabbat. They are like a triangle of truth in Scripture. So I'm going to end the sermon here. Right there.